RNZ Pacific News, Maloni, I'm Selmanu Tevam Tawhai. An ocean scientist says new data reveals it's possible to achieve a goal of zero plastic pollution by 2040. 175 nations have agreed to develop a legally binding agreement on plastic pollution by 2024, a major step towards reducing greenhouse gas emissions from plastic production, use and disposal. Project scientists at the Benioff Ocean Science Laboratory, Neil Nathan, is in Ottawa, Canada, on the sidelines of the negotiations, hoping to sway delegates to adopt some of their recommended policies backed by their scientific findings.
That it's actually possible for us to achieve this goal of getting to zero plastic pollution by 2040. So that sort of lit a fire for us, where once we then realized, you know, we need to make sure that delegates, make sure that countries who are considering their positions on such a treaty are aware of this. They're aware of what the best and latest science is saying on the matter.
The treaty is expected to be finalised in late 2024 in Busan, Korea. Papua New Guinea's Shadow Minister for Police and Health wants Prime Minister James Marape to release an audit into COVID-19 spending. As NBC reports, this is not the first time the opposition has made the call. Johnson Wapilnai says he is concerned that the International Monetary Fund effectively forced the government into releasing a partial list of contracts awarded using COVID-19 loan funds. Mr. Wapilnai has urged the Ombudsman Commission, Transparency International and the Independent Commission Against Corruption to intervene. Meanwhile, researchers aiming to bring youth back to Papua New Guinea's cacao farms hope mobile phone technology is one avenue they can use. PNG's small holder farmers, who traditionally earn very little from their crops, are doing much better this season due to a supply crisis in West Africa. But it has highlighted that most of the farmers are elderly and their children need to return to ensure the long-term sustainability of a crop that is important for many families in PNG. A research fellow at the University of Sydney, Tom Swan, who has been working in PNG to develop integrated cocoa farming systems, says typically younger people are more inclined to use their mobile phones.
So we're developing a mobile application which would have cocoa farming to help them look at things like how to compost, what sort of amendments they can make to the soil, when the best time to pick the cocoa pods are, pruning of trees and other such things, to try to engage youth in that medium.
Fiji's Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka will meet King Charles next month at Buckingham Palace. Mr. Rambuka has confirmed he's accepted an invitation sent through Fiji's High Commission in London. He will visit King Charles on May 7th. He told the Fiji Times it will be an honour to be at the palace again. It will be his third visit there, and in the 1970s he was there as a rugby player. The Cook Islands have declared the discovery of asbestos in the Rarotonga Outpatients Health Clinic. Primary health care services are to be relocated to the hospital, with dental services moving to community clinics and schools. Cook Islands News reports the removal of asbestos roofing and other building material will begin in June and is expected to take 8 weeks. An international relations academic says New Zealand Foreign Minister Winston Peters' speech at Gallipoli is a good reminder to learn lessons from history. Mr. Peters said the world had become more divided and diplomacy had never been more necessary to de-escalate conflicts and ease tensions. Professor Robert Patman from Otago University says diplomacy means standing up for what's right.
We can't be complicit by remaining silent. And we have to urge those who are involved or contributing to a situation in which international law is being gravely undermined. And New Zealand has a huge stake in the preservation of international law. It's being loyal to draw attention to those who are taking actions which are making the situation worse.
Professor Patman says New Zealand can do more to call out injustice. New Zealand family doctors warn staff shortages and cost pressures are putting after-hours services at risk in many regions. Official documents show in the first 8 months of last year, 24 practices and clinics had to reduce hours or close their doors. The not-for-profit organisation Southlink Trust runs 23 practices nationwide. Its chief executive, Carl Andrew, says the current regional variability of after-hours contracts has to be addressed with urgency. He says the growing complexity of patients, increased administration and a shrinking workforce is making it harder to even provide day-to-day services. Te Whatu Ora says it's boosted funding by $17 million New Zealand dollars this year to stabilise services and will be considering urgent care as part of the wider primary health programme. In world news, NATO's Secretary-General Jens Stoltenberg says it's not too late for Ukraine to prevail against Russian aggression, welcoming the new military aid package that the US will provide to Kiev. The BBC's Danny Eberhard reports.
The White House says some new US military aid will arrive in days. But Jens Stoltenberg said that for months, NATO allies had not been providing Kiev with the support they'd promised. Such delays, he said, had let Russia make territorial gains. Some Western officials say the next 3 or 4 months could still prove very hard for Ukraine. Moscow seems determined to maximise advantages before Kiev can replenish severely depleted military stocks, attempting, for example, to capture the town of Chasiv Yar, west of Bakhmut. It'll seek to disrupt supply lines too. Ukraine's railways said its network was targeted on Thursday by massive Russian attacks.
In sport, Noumea Club ASPTT and Solomon Islands Matics FC remain unbeaten after day three of the OFC Futsal Men's Champions League in New Caledonia. Thursday's clash between the two sides ended in a 1-1 draw. Games continue today. Vanuatu's UNV club side have kept their hopes alive of making the final of the OFC Futsal Men's Champions League after a come-from-behind 3-2 win over Suva. But OFC Media says the result means UNV FC will still need to win their final group game against Tonga's Vaitongo FC. Suva FC are also still in the running despite the defeat, but will have to beat both Matics FC and the Solomon Islands and local side ASPTT to make the final. Games continue in Noumea today. Cook Islands has high hopes of hosting the 2029 Pacific Mini Games. The Pacific Games Council says President Viria Lakhan met with the Executive Board of Cook Islands Sports and National Olympic Committee in Rarotonga on Wednesday. Lakhan has also held meetings with different stakeholders, including Cook Island Prime Minister Mark Brown, the Deputy PM and Minister for Sport, the opposition leader and member federations of the 15 sports listed on the bid. Earlier this week, Lakhan visited French Polynesia, the host of the 2027 Fall Pacific Games. The World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, has ordered an independent review of its handling of a doping case against Chinese swimmers. The BBC's Celia Hatton has more.
Last week, WADA and the Chinese anti-doping authorities confirmed a story dating back to 2021 that was unveiled in investigative reports, admitting that 23 of China's top swimmers were secretly allowed to continue competing after testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. WADA says at the time it accepted Beijing's explanation that the swimmers had unwittingly ingested the drug at a swim meet. Several of the swimmers won medals at the Tokyo Olympics that year, including golds.
And that's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.